First Kings chapter 16, and we are considering Jezebel this morning, a person that we might describe as a devil woman. And the verse of Scripture I'd like to use as our text this morning is the verse 31. 1 Kings 16 and verse 31, and it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him, that is Ahab, to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. She was monarch of England from 1553 to 1558. Brought up as a Roman Catholic, she had a bitter hatred for Protestantism and so was strongly opposed to the work of the great Protestant Reformation. This hater of Protestantism was the daughter of Henry VIII and was called Mary Tudor. And when she occupied the throne, she had the title of Mary I of England. But she was soon to acquire a less regal name. For in her attempt to halt the spread of the Reformation, she succeeded in putting to death almost 300 Protestants who professed faith in Christ. And their death was a terrible death, for they were burned at the stake. And with the blood of so many good and godly men on her hands, men like Latimer and Ridley and Cranmer, she quickly acquired the less flattering title of Bloody Mary. Yes, she had the blood of hundreds of men and women on her hands, and their only crime was that they had embraced the truth of the gospel and were part of the great Protestant Reformation that was spreading across Europe at that time. The conduct of this cruel, callous woman reminds me of the words that we find in Proverbs 29 and verse 10. The bloodthirsty hate the upright. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. There was certainly nothing just about this woman, Bloody Mary, but a bloodthirsty monarch who hated the upright. But she was one of the wicked women of history whose hatred for the upright was similar to that of one of the most wicked women that we meet with in the Scriptures, Jezebel. Jezebel was the Bloody Mary of her day. If you want to see a portrait of craft and cunning, then look at this woman, Jezebel. If you want to see a picture of treachery and tyranny, you've only to look at this woman, Jezebel. You want to see an example of wantonness and wickedness, then you will find it in this woman, Jezebel. Jezebel was the personification of all that is evil. If you don't believe that man has a totally depraved nature, and there are many who don't believe that, but if you don't believe that man has a totally depraved nature, then a study of Jezebel's life will convince you otherwise. For just as Bloody Mary attempted to destroy the work of the Reformation, so Jezebel. Jezebel, this devil woman, made a determinate effort to destroy the worship of Jehovah in Israel. So this morning I want to consider the character and the conduct of Jezebel, a name no mother would afflict her daughter with. And if ever a woman deserved to be called a devil woman, it was Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal. Let us begin, first of all, by considering Jezebel and her satanic devotion. Jezebel and her satanic devotion. We all know that in the history of this world in which we live, there have been many religions which are satanic and Satan-inspired, and Baal worship is one of them. The name Satan. Satan means hater or accuser. And Jezebel was a devotee of Baal. And she had an unholy, unmistakable hatred for the God of Israel and all of his servants. And we are told here, first of all, about her parent. You look there in the text of Scripture we have read, verse 31, 1 Kings 16, and it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, they took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians. And so we are told that Jezebel was the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians. Now we can say that Jezebel had Baal worship in her blood, for her father's name, Ethbaal, means Baal's man. Baal's man. And since her father was Baal's man, it is no surprise that Jezebel grew up to be what we might say Baal's woman. This heartless woman, with such a murderous history, belied the name her father gave her. For you see, the name Jezebel means chaste. It means free from carnal connection or without cohabitation. And so the meaning of the name would speak to us of purity. And yet, this woman was far from being a pure woman. The name means, again, chaste, free from carnal connection or without cohabitation. And yet by nature she was a licentious woman, skilled in all of the tawdry arts of wanton women. Unfortunately, the spirit of Jezebel is everywhere to be seen today. For cohabitation seems to be the order of the day amongst men and women in this day in which we live. Christian marriage seems to be almost a thing of the past. Now we know where it originated, this cohabitation, when men and women set up home together. Now we know where it all came from. from someone like Jezebel, a Baal worshiper, and from a home of Baal worshippers. Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, evidently taught his daughter all she needed to know about Baal. And when you see the conduct and look at the character of Jezebel, you would have to admit that her father did a good job. Cohabitation. It's everywhere to be seen today. And you could say the worship of Baal is rampant today also. And if ungodly parents lead their children to walk in ungodly ways, as Ethbaal taught Jezebel, then it behoves every godly parent to make sure that their children walk in the paths of righteousness. And so we learn something about her parent. And the next thing we notice, her partner. We're told that this daughter of Ethbaal became the wife of Ahab, king of Israel. If ever there was an unholy union, well then here it is. For we read in verse 30, "And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord, above all that were before him." And he takes to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And if Ahab had been bad and wicked and evil before he married Jezebel, he was much worse after. You look down there at verse 32. He's married Jezebel. We're told he has served Baal and the worship and worshipped him. In verse 32, "And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal." This was done after he married Jezebel. "Reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria." Look at verse 33. Remembering what we've read in verse 30. Now in verse 33, "And Ahab made a grove." And Ahab did more. He did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. He did more to provoke the anger of the God of Israel and all the kings that were before him. He did worse after he married Jezebel. And there is no doubt that Jezebel played her part in all that Ahab did in building the groves and the idols and the altars to Baal. Indeed, when the prophet later, the prophet Elijah, confronted Ahab, Elijah faced Ahab with the truth. Listen to what Elijah said to Ahab. 1 Kings 21 and verse 20. And he answered, "I have found thee," that is, Elijah says to Ahab, "I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord." Sold himself to work evil. That was Ahab's life. That was his goal. That was his object. That's what he was consumed by. Working evil in the sight of the Lord. He lived for evil. That was his diet. And Jezebel, his wife, played a leading role in Ahab's evil works. Turn to 1 Kings 21. And we will prove that. 1 Kings 21. And there we read in verse 25. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord. Listen. Whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. Now we often make reference to the margin that we have in our Bibles. And you'll notice those words, stirred up, may also be rendered incited. And so the wickedness that this man did in the sight of the Lord, he was incited by his wife Jezebel to do that. And you wonder why we call her a devil woman? Here you have the proof of it. She incited her husband, stirred him up to work evil in the sight of the Lord. She incited him, she encouraged him to do evil in the Lord's sight. Now a wife is supposed to support her husband in doing good, in doing right. You turn to Proverbs 31. You're probably familiar with the portion we're referring to. Proverbs 31. We read there about the virtuous woman. A good woman, a godly woman. We read in verse 10 in Proverbs 31, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. That's a far cry from the behavior of Jezebel. A good wife is to do her husband good. And he can safely trust in her. He can trust her. She'll not fail him or let him down or disappoint him. She will do him good and not evil, all the days of her life. And yet Jezebel was the very opposite. Jezebel was as much sold out to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord as her husband was. They were partners in crime. You could say they fed on the same bread of wickedness and drank out of the same cup of vileness. Jezebel was a devil woman. We have noticed her parent and her partner. Let us also now take note of her passion. If her husband was sold out to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, then Jezebel had sold herself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord and had sold her soul to Baal. She was sold out to Baal. And when you think of it, this devil woman never knew anything else other than the worship of Baal. Her parents worshipped Baal. Her husband worshipped Baal. She worshipped Baal herself. Her family home was a home of Baal worship. Her marital home was a home of Baal worship. And Baal was God in the life of Jezebel and in her family home and in her marital home. And we can see how great her passion was for Baal when we read the words of 1 Kings 18. That shows you the passion she had for Baal and the worship of this false god. 1 Kings 18, verse 19. Now therefore, Elijah is speaking, now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, look, which eat at Jezebel's table. And so there were 400 prophets of the groves. 400 prophets that Jezebel sheltered, supported, and sustained. That's how Jezebel was consumed with the worship of this false god. She had 400 false prophets sitting at her table. She fed them. What a wicked woman. And, oh believer, I see the passion this evil woman had for her false god and his prophets. And say that we must have a greater passion for our God and for his servants. The one who was called upon, yea, the one who has commanded us, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. The words of the Lord Jesus. There's passion, is it not? We're to have a passion for our God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, and with all of thy mind. When we see the followers of false gods and false religions today, and the passion they have for their gods, where do we come in our passion for the one true God, beside whom there is none else? And so we have seen then Jezebel and her satanic devotion. Next we want to look at Jezebel and her shameful deeds. A woman with such an evil heart, it's not too long before she'll put forth her hands to work evil deeds. We recall the evil deed of Judas Iscariot. Even though the Lord knew that Judas would betray him all along, yet it wasn't until Satan, we are told, entered into him. After Satan entered into Judas, it was then that Judas went out and conferred with the elders and the Pharisees and made a deal to sell the Lord for 30 pieces of silver, to betray him and sell him for 30 pieces of silver. Judas played this part in the death of Jesus Christ. And Satan held sway in his life and in his heart as he held sway in the life of Jezebel. Notice first of all, her removal of the prophets. When Elijah first appeared before Ahab, he told him about God's judgment that was about to come upon the nation because of his evil ways and because he, Ahab, had provoked the Lord to anger. And what was that judgment? Elijah told him. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And according to the words of James, in James 5 and verse 17, those years stretched out to 3 years and 6 months. And during that period of time, during the time of the famine and the drought, it seems as though the flames of hatred that burned in the heart of Jezebel grew more intense. Because it was during that period of time, those 3 years and 6 months, we read in 1 Kings 18 and verse 4, that Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord. And this cutting off of the prophets of the Lord meant that she murdered them. We know that from 2 Kings chapter 9. In 2 Kings chapter 9, and there we read in verse 7, And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, that I, that's the Lord speaking, that I may avenge the blood of my servants the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. Prophets, the servants of the Lord, the Lord's prophets, had died, had been murdered at the hand of this devil woman, Jezebel. Under God, Elijah was championing the cause of Jehovah in Israel, and Jezebel the cause of Baal. So you have these two great opposing factions. The God of heaven or the God of Jezebel. The God of Elijah and the God of Ahab. And here is Jezebel, and she was without doubt the bloody Mary of her day. And when she saw what Elijah's God had done, and that God had shut up heaven, that there was no rain for 3.5 years, she took it out on the prophets of the Lord. Because remember what Elijah said when he went to Ahab. He says, Before whom I stand today, I stand before the Lord God of Israel. And in the name of the Lord God of Israel, there will be no rain on this earth for 3.5 years. And Jezebel would have been told what Elijah said, and no doubt that enraged her, that the Lord God of heaven would do such a thing. And she took it out on the Lord's servants. She took out her bitterness and her madness on the servants of the Lord. This was her way of striking against the God of Israel. But the God of Israel did say, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Paul quoted those words in Romans 12 and verse 19, and he was quoting the words of Deuteronomy 32 and 35. You see, God is a jealous God for His servants. He loves His servants. As we have pointed out on other occasions, He looks upon them as the apple of His eye. Touch His servants and you touch the apple of the Lord's eye. And the Lord has said, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Well, Jezebel had done harm to the prophets of the Lord, and the Lord would pay her back. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Next we see, as well as the removal of the prophets, we see her rage and her promise. Elijah had executed God's judgment upon the prophets of Baal. We read there in 1 Kings 18 and verse 40. Obviously, King Ahab could not handle this situation himself. Ahab strikes me as a bit of a wimp, because we're told that he went and told Jezebel what had happened. And in 1 Kings 19 and verse 1 we read, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. I suppose you can say we can see who wore the trousers in that house. Jezebel. She was the one who ruled the house and ruled the roost, because she promised that Elijah would be dead within 24 hours. 1 Kings 19 and verse 2. She had promised that within 24 hours she would see to it that Elijah would be slain also. It was then that we read that Elijah took to his heels and ran. I never considered it before, to my shame. I never considered it before, the distance between Jezreel and the wilderness of Beersheba. It's 130 miles. And it's in the land of Judah. And so you can see that that Elijah got as far away from Jezebel as he could. He went 130 miles. He went into Judah and into the wilderness of Beersheba to get away from this woman. Now, we've often frowned upon Elijah because of this. But maybe we'll frown less upon him when we read what Solomon said in Proverbs 21. Because in Proverbs 21 and verse 19, Solomon said, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. It's better to dwell in the wilderness. And that's where Elijah went to. He went to the wilderness rather than to be anywhere near this contentious and angry woman. He wanted to get as far away from her as possible. Now, in the course of this series of messages, we have considered some wonderful women. We've been introduced to them. We've been in their company, as it were. And as we have looked at women like Elizabeth, like Anna, like Mary, it has warmed our hearts as we have considered them. And we have said to ourselves, we'd like to be like Elizabeth and Anna and Mary and others. We have enjoyed, as it were, their company. We would not have enjoyed the company of Jezebel. We would, like Elijah, wanted to have got as far away from her as possible. There was nothing attractive about Jezebel. Nothing lovely, nothing pretty, nothing beautiful. Rather, this was an evil, spiteful, angry, bitter woman who hated the Lord, who hated his servants, and as Solomon said again in Ecclesiastes 7:26, I find more bitter than death. What did Solomon find that was more bitter than death? The woman whose heart is snares and nets. That's what Solomon said he found more bitter than death. A woman whose heart was snares and nets. You would nearly think he was describing Jezebel. We press on quickly. And that leads us now to consider the rebel and her plot. That's what Jezebel was. She was a rebel. She was a rebel against God and against his servants. When Naboth refused to part with his vineyard, Ahab then behaved like a spoiled brat. He went into his house and wouldn't eat, as we would say, he took the huff, because Naboth wouldn't sell him or exchange his vineyard. And we read in 1 Kings 21 and the verse 4, and Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him, for he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers, because it was given to him by the Lord. He couldn't part with it. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. And Jezebel his wife came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. He had taken the huff, like a spoiled child. Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. I want us just to dwell in the words of that verse 7 for a moment. We learn many more things here about Jezebel. We learn, first of all, from the verse 7, she was a domineering woman. She certainly was not in subjection to her husband. Rather, it would appear that Ahab was in subjection to her. She was a tyrant in her own home, a terror to her own husband. And what a contrast, believer, what a contrast. What a contrast between this man and this woman, and with a godly husband and wife. Turn with me, please, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, or of wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And after this manner in the old time, the holy woman also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. That word adorned in verse 5, that word adorned means modest, of good behavior. That's what the Lord looks for in husbands and wives who know Him. After this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves. How? By being modest. Modest and of good behavior. And you look at Jezebel, oh dear. You could say, well, no wonder Elijah ran so far away. What would any man want to have anything to do with this woman? She was not only a domineering woman, she was a disrespectful woman. I know that neither Ahab or Jezebel knew anything about the matter of respect. Nevertheless, being the woman that she was, she certainly had no respect for her husband. But we see how disrespectfully she speaks to Ahab in this verse 7. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? She speaks disrespectfully to him and saying, who do you think you are? You're the king. You can do whatever you want. If you want this vineyard, then you can get it. You're the king. And there's old Ahab lying on the bed in a huff, moping because he couldn't get the vineyard, and his wife comes in and rebukes him in this way. She's disrespectful. She wanted him to boss others, but he dare not boss her. A lack of respect should not have a place in a Christian marriage. Paul says, so ought men to love their own wives as their own bodies. And he goes on to say, and the wife, see that she reverence or respect her husband. Ephesians 5, verses 28 and 33. Jezebel presents an attitude that ought to be avoided. I notice further, not only was she a domineering woman, a disrespectful woman, she was a determined woman. We see that from this verse 7. She told Ahab, I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. She was determined to get her way. No matter what the cost may be, she was determined to get her way, no matter about who was wounded, who was hurt or who was harmed. She was determined to get her way, not because of her love for her husband. Not at all. She was determined to get her way because of her hatred of Naboth. Because Naboth had received this vineyard that had been handed down to him by his fathers because it had been given to them by the Lord. It was not for sale. And here is Naboth, a good and a godly man, who took a stand for the Lord. That's why Jezebel hated him. That's why Jezebel was determined to get the vineyard. And the spirit of Jezebel lives on in the hearts of many today. Give people today half a chance to say something bad against a Christian or one of his servants, and they will welcome it gladly. The plot that Jezebel hatched against Naboth shows also that she was a devil woman. We know what her plot was. 1 Kings 21, verses 12 and 13. She invited Naboth to a banquet. She hired two of her Baal worshippers to accuse him of blasphemy. And they took him out and stoned him. She's a devil woman. And what the Savior said about Judas could be said about Jezebel. Savior said of Judas, it would be better for that man if he had never been born. It would be better for Jezebel if she had never been born. And in closing, we have Jezebel and her shocking death. The Lord God of heaven had promised to avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. And in 2 Kings 9 and verses 9 and 10, the whole of the chapter of 2 Kings 9 is taken up with the dealing with Jezebel. God dealing with Jezebel. And the Lord said that Jezebel, her body would be eaten by the dogs, and the dogs would lick her blood. You see, the wages of sin is death. And Jezebel was about to gather her wages. That was her ruin. You have her reputation. 2 Kings 9, verse 22, and it came to pass when Joram saw Jehu, that he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" And he answered, "What peace, so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many." That was her reputation. Everybody knew Jezebel for her whoredoms and her witchcraft. You have her readiness. We're going through this quickly. 2 Kings 9, verse 30. She knew that her death hour was near, and she wanted to prepare herself. She was queen. She was the wife of Ahab, king of Israel. But notice how she prepared herself. In verse 30, "And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face and teared her head and looked out at a window." This reminds us of those who adorned themselves with their religious rites and ceremonies and adorn themselves with self-righteousness, and all these things are as vain and worthless as the painted face of Jezebel. And then you have her removal. In verses 32 to 37 you can read them. Jehu shouts up at the window where Jezebel was looking out, "Are there any with me?" And two men standing beside Jezebel got a hold of her and threw her out of the window. And blood flashed upon the wall and splattered upon the ground. And whenever the command was given to go out and bury Jezebel, when they went out, they found nothing but her hands and her head. The dogs had eaten her and licked up her blood. You know, I was just thinking, whenever you see the end of Jezebel, that tyrant of a woman, it seems to be that's the way it is for all tyrants. Saddam Hussein, that man who was drunk with power, they found him in a hole in the ground. Osama bin Laden, they found him in a fortified shed. It was nothing more than that. And Colonel Gaddafi, they found him in a drain. These men that boasted of so much power, they all came to a sorry and ignominious end. So it was with Jezebel. In the last verse of 2 Kings 9 says, "And the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, this is Jezebel." A woman whose conduct and example is to be avoided. May the Lord use His word in our own hearts in this day in which we live. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our loving God and eternal Father, we come to Thee and we thank Thee for these lessons that we can learn from Thy word. These things, Lord, that are written down, that we might learn from them. And surely, Lord, we have learned much from this evil woman. And our gracious God, have us to live in a way that pleases Thee. Give us that meekness that the Savior had. Give us that quiet spirit. Give us that modesty and good behavior. Even as it was with David when he was in the house of Saul, we're told that he behaved himself wisely. Lord, bless Thy word to our hearts, for it is Thy word. And we pray now, Lord, Thou wilt be with us as we part the one from the other. Keep Thy hand upon us and give us safe journey home. And return us this evening, Lord, into this house, once again, to worship Thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.